This is the Ask Amberlee Show.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. As ready as I'll ever be, I guess.
I know. All right. Welcome to the Ask Amberlee Show podcast. This episode is brought to you by Manicure Magazine, which is my new, semi-new, health and lifestyle publication. It is printed as a modern newspaper, and it has all kinds of fun things in it. It's got some horoscopes in it. It's got a word search thingamabob, but it's all health and lifestyle publication articles in there. So it's $14.99 every 90 days. So every 3 months, every quarter, you get charged $14.99, and an issue pops up at your door within your mailbox. So
lots of really good information.
Lots of good information. Thank you for that. Go to www.manicuremagazine.com and subscribe today. And yeah, get you some information on health and lifestyle things. My second sponsor this episode is brought to you by 913. Is it 913 Boutique or 913?
Yeah, 913 Boutique.
Okay, 913 Boutique in Nashville. The owner is Claire Duga, who is my special guest today. She has an amazing boutique she just opened recently. It's got very high-level basics, like you said. It's like high-quality, elevated basics, which I'm like in love with. Coming into your store, I mean, I know you and I know all the things that you do. And I'm like, God, you just blew me away, you know. So I love your store. I love being in Nashville. Go to, what's your website?
913.shop.
913.shop. And it's spelled out N-I-N-E.
T-H-I-R-T-E-E.
.shop. Gotcha.
I went for the complicated, you know, spell it out instead of just doing 913 numerically.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it. And my outfit today is, you outfitted me, which like you always have the best taste.
Thank you.
So for those of you who are just listening and not seeing the video, I'm wearing a hot pink blazer, my fave, and black shorts and a black underneath top
t-shirt
and some cowgirl boots. And I'm borrowing Claire's hat. I haven't gone to a hat bar yet, but I will.
We'll get there one day.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yes. So thank you for sponsoring this episode. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Without further ado, let's get into the show.
Let's do it.
Okay. Claire Duga.
Yeah.
Where do we even begin? Because it's been a long time coming.
It has been a long time.
I know. I'm like, how do I even introduce you? Because we met, what was it, 8 or 9 years ago?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
And in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we've been connected ever since and work together and play together.
Work hard, play hard.
And go to Europe together and all the fun things. So what has your experience been? I'm going to ask you a few questions and then you'll host part of the show too. You're going to ask me some questions. But first and foremost, you have been on this journey of health, spirituality, finding what you connect with, your truth, dealing with boundaries with people in relationships. And I'm not going to reveal too much that, you know, we talk about. I'm not going to air out all your dirty laundry.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, because we all have it. So, but it's a path and you're working at it every day. And I would say you're very conscious about trying to figure out what it is that's going to make you happiest or, you know, all those things that so many of us struggle with. And it might just be subliminally for most of us. And we don't talk about it unless we're having, you know, a therapy session or something. But it's so common because I have so many clients who are dealing with very similar things, trying to figure out, you know, what really makes you happy? What makes you feel connected? Do I still want to be in these relationships anymore? How does this work? Especially if they're family members, like what do we do, you know, going forward? And it's a very common thread I've seen. and you're just the embodiment of it. And you've done so well with, you know, navigating it.
With your help.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there. No, but yeah, it is. It's a journey, you know, and we all need help. You know, we all need to help each other out through it. So with that little introduction, I do want to ask you, you know, from your perspective, what has your journey been like, and how do you feel about actually arriving to a destination right now that you've been working at for the last 8 years since I met you?
Yeah.
Or I guess your whole life, really. But
I mean, I think it's been a combination of figuring out like why my health was, I had health issues and then, you know, along with, you know, my actual happiness and kind of like putting it together and figuring out, okay, maybe this is coming up because, you know, I need to change my path or I need to do something different or, you know, something like that. And also being a big thing for me, I feel like was, just being fulfilled in what I was doing. I have done a few different things career wise, but just being fulfilled and, you know, I always felt like I was doing a good job and working really hard. There was always like that little something missing that I felt deep in my gut that I was like, I feel like there's something more that I need.
Yeah.
And then things start, you know, I would get sick with this or like be like, oh, well, this is happening. And you'd be like, well, you know, have you ever thought of it this way? And I'm like, no. I feel like that's kind of been my journey of trying to figure out what really fulfills me personally and then, you know, spiritually and but also professionally.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it all is kind of connected in a way.
Oh,
or definitely.
As we have found out, it is all connected. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It is a journey of you go and you make a decision and then you see it get reflected out into your reality. And then when you don't like what you see or experience, it makes you question, okay, where am I going wrong? Or where, what do I need to look at deeper?
Exactly.
To make that change of creating a reality I do want to see and experience.
Yeah.
So you've been chipping away at that for a long time. Wow. And there's a lot of fear involved.
Well, that was my next thing.
Okay.
It's all like very scary,
right?
To take those gigantic leaps of faith. And it's just the unknown is, especially in this recent venture of this, of what I've created here, is I can't, it's an unexplainable fear that I have felt, but also a huge sense of relief, if that makes sense. Like, it's kind of like this weird living in fear, but also, okay, wait, this feels good. This feels right in the moment.
It, your fear doesn't go away. It just, it transforms into a different feeling because I know that feeling even with the magazine, Manicure. It's something that I've wanted to do for so long.
Yeah.
And not doing it, there's safety in not doing it because you're like, okay, well, I'm fine.
Right.
But then there's a pit in your stomach. There's this undercurrent constantly, the monkey on your back as you're going through your day of not fulfilling your potential or stepping into something that makes you happy. And this could go for relationships too, or, you know, anything that you're stuck in, or you feel like you're repeating something and you don't quite want to take that leap yet because you're fearful.
Right.
But then there, once you take the step, there's a whole new set of fears.
You're
like, okay, this is why I waited so long.
Yeah, exactly. I remember talking to you about, obviously I've talked about this for a long time and it's come up a lot in, you know, our sessions and stuff. But I remember one of the things you told me, you were like, Claire, just do it. Just whatever it looks like, of course, me being me. And I'm like, oh, I wanted it to be so perfect. The vision that I had, and you were like, just put it in the world and just see, you know? And you're right. It just, it continually built. It wasn't exactly what I pictured when I was sitting there, like writing it all out. But at the same time, like I just did it because I think I would have continually have put it off.
Yeah.
Because the fear would have just built up. Then I would have been like, oh, well, I'll just go back to the safety net.
I know. It's easy to do because, like I said, even in relationships, it's that comfortable pair of slippers that, you know, are worn out and you got to get new ones.
Yeah.
But yet they're broken in and there's some comfort
it's
in
comfort.
That. Yeah. So what was it that made you, because we were on this journey together for years.
Yeah.
What was it from your perspective? Oh, awesome. There's a tropical storm outside right now. By the way, it just started pouring. Side note.
Yeah.
But what was
Welcome to Nashville.
Yeah, really. I didn't realize it rained so much here.
Yeah. Well, Mother Nature, we experienced an earthquake on Friday night too.
Yeah. So. Leave it to me, the alien, and just riding on in, and then boom, an earthquake happens. Poor people. I'm sorry. I apologize to Tennessee. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, it was kind of ironic. It was funny.
It was funny.
Okay. So what was it that you feel like you felt that you were like, okay, now I'm going to do it? Can you pinpoint those steps leading up to the main decision of I got to do this?
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, well, we went to Europe.
Yes.
In summer of 23. And I felt that trip was so relaxing, and it was like kind of like a freedom. I kind of took a deep breath for the first time in a long time.
Oh, wow.
I feel like.
That's so interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it you know, I decided to move to Nashville on a whim, which was a pretty big step itself.
Did you decide that before you left for Europe or after you got back from Europe for Nashville? Or did you already move?
Oh,
you
I had already moved.
You
moved,
were already living in Nashville.
I moved to Nashville in 2021.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was it leading up to the 2021 move?
You know, I couldn't find joy and happiness. Of course, like in my day-to-day life, like I have an unbelievable family that supports me constantly. I have unbelievable friends in Louisiana and a lot of other places. And so like that day-to-day happiness was fine.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like there was something missing and I couldn't figure it out. And I felt like I was so unhappy in my career. And I couldn't figure out why, because I liked what I did.
Yeah.
You know, I liked what I was doing and what I was trying to do and learning. And I had just kind of swapped. I had been with a company for almost 8 years, and then I swapped into kind of like a startup company. And I was like, okay, well, this is going to be different. Maybe this is what I need. And it just kind of, there was no like, nothing really changed dramatically. Not that I thought there was going to be this like gigantic shift, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like too, it was kind of something else was pushing me, because how I moved, I was on a tennis team playing tennis one night, and my friend was a realtor, and she goes, hey, it's like a really, really good time to sell your house. I think you could make a substantial amount of money if you sold it. And I was like, well, where the heck would I go? Yeah. You know? And she said, look, just put it on the market and put it 20% over ask.
And just see.
And see. She's like, you don't have to take an offer at all.
Right.
And so I was like, okay. You know, I feel like those types of moments, like looking back at them, were huge, but you don't know it at the time.
Yeah.
You know?
And to be fair, you and I were leading up to it when you made that career move. I was like, Claire, you and I both know this is a lateral move.
Yeah, you did.
But at least it was movement. And I was so proud of you for taking a step. It didn't matter what direction it was in.
Right.
Even if it was backwards, it didn't matter to me. I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
You took a step, and I'm so proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it took that necessary step to get further.
Yeah.
But it's so hard when you have like a goal in mind and you don't know how to get there. And that's why I try to encourage everyone to just take a step. It does not matter what it looks like. It's going to be messy.
Right.
Like that's a fact.
Yeah.
That's what you can expect. But make a move.
Right. Well, yeah, because with my previous job, I was traveling like 15 to 20 days a month, and I wasn't able to play tennis at night because I was never home. So,
okay,
then
interesting.
When I switched the job, I was able to get on a tennis team and play a couple of nights a week, and because I was home,
and you can meet people
exactly.
And,
so, yeah, so that happened within 24 hours. I got 4 full ask offers.
Whoa.
On my house.
Wow. It's amazing.
And she called me, and I was actually at a work event, and I like went into the bathroom. I'll never forget. And she's like, well, here are all your offers. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do?
Right.
You know?
So what made you choose Nashville?
Well, I was not thinking that yet. I lived in Nashville when I was 19. Mm-hmm. Really liked it, but at the time I thought that it was too far from home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, maybe let's just go visit. So mm-hmm. my mom, my aunt, and myself came here for the 4th of July. I signed a lease that weekend, the 4th of July, and I moved in 3 weeks later.
Wow, that is amazing.
With not a lot of friends. I didn't know anyone here.
Well, so were you still able to work at your job in Baton Rouge, or did you quit your job as well and then just move?
At first, I thought I was going able to, but it was a startup, mm-hmm. and understandably, like, they wanted people on the ground there, and mm-hmm. It just didn't really make sense for them, and I completely understood. And so I quit that, and I, because
jumped.
Of my house, I was able to take like a couple months off, mm-hmm. and just enjoy Nashville, mm-hmm. which I was immensely grateful for that. And then started working part time and trying to figure out what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Because I did have to start working again.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And so I went back into the industry that I was working in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right,
you're comfortable,
right?
You know,
exactly. Which is so, that's the point that I want to make to people who are listening, who are questioning and going through a pathway, that it's always going to look messy. It's not going to be a linear perfect path of like the next step and the next step and the next step. Sometimes you have to just jump and then the step appears. Mm-hmm. That process is so crucial, because even though I love that you're like, okay, I made a huge step and I moved cities to Nashville. Yeah. It's like, wherever you go, there you are, right?
Yeah.
Because then you get to Nashville and you're like, well, let me just repeat the same pattern that I had at home, right?
Basically.
Yeah, because that's comfortable.
It just looks like different outside your window.
Right. Exactly, right?
I can now see the Smoky Mountains.
Yeah, it's now a different scenery, but I'm still stuck where I'm at. Yeah. So, well, it's just so interesting, because I feel like you need to give yourself grace mm-hmm. when you're going through those processes, because you can beat yourself up, because it's like, why am I going back to the same person, or why am I going back to the same job, or why do we do this? And it's just, it's human nature, because we seek out safety, and sometimes safety looks like familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough word to say, but it's what's familiar.
Yeah.
And that is why we tend to stay mm-hmm. in situations. And so when you went back into that pattern mm-hmm. and you were aware of it, but mm-hmm. I mean, I called it out to you.
You did.
Claire, what did we talk about? But I love that you were like, you know what? I just got to do it, because it's what is familiar right now.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Well, I mean, and too, for me, it was I feel like somewhat of a confidence thing. Like, because it's hard to make all these huge, gigantic life decisions.
Yeah.
And then be confident in doing, also making this like gigantic career change mm-hmm. all at the same time. For me, it was a little much.
Yeah.
I get, you know, mm-hmm. I think that was probably part of it.
Yeah.
Of just gaining my confidence and being in my new surrounding of where I was.
Mm-hmm.
But also like trying to make friends. And you know, I'll never forget like the first weekend I lived here, because in Louisiana, mm-hmm. I always had a friend to call and be like, you want to go grab a glass of wine?
Right.
Or, like,
right.
I'll walk down the street to my friend Sarah's house and, you know, hang out on the back porch, you know, whatever. I didn't have that here yet.
Mm-hmm.
And just like sitting in my awesome brand new apartment. And I was like, what the hell am I going to do tonight? Mm-hmm. It's Friday.
I love that.
It's like,
that's so funny.
Who am I gonna call? Like, I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I just, being the great Cajun that I am,
yeah,
I went down to the bar.
Oh my god, I love it. It's so funny. You and I are so different, because I'm like, yes, I know no one here.
Yeah.
I can rest.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can just be with myself. But yeah, no, you inspire me in a lot of ways, because
you
are a social butterfly, and I am just not that at all, obviously. And part of that is like, okay, well, now I'm living under a rock and I don't even know what like it to know it is. Okay. So I just learned what that is today, everyone. Okay. So give me a moment. Welcome to the modern century, right? So Yeah, Claire had to actually spell it out for me and explain what that is. But yeah, I didn't know there was an app and all that stuff. Yeah. So this is not sponsored by Lucky to Know It, although I might start. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Anyway, I value that you do go out and you make an mm-hmm. effort with people and you want to connect with people and mm-hmm. you really do lean into your community. And I think that's so important, especially when you're starting up a business that that is a physical, tangible business, you know, more than just influencing. You have a bricks and mortar boutique.
Yeah.
You know, I have a physical newspaper mm-hmm. magazine right now. And you need your community and you want to collaborate with people and you realize the importance of that. And we've been so socially disconnected, ironically, from social media, which is like the word itself, social media, is so ironic because in a lot of ways it does connect you, but it also disconnects you in very primal ways mm-hmm. where you need your tribe, you need your community, you need the people who you can lean on and really take you through the next step. So you went down to the bar. Yeah. And you in Nashville. Yeah. And did you just, were you like, hi, I'm Claire, like it to know it? No. Were you like, hi, I'm Claire?
Well, ordered a glass of wine.
Okay.
As I would normally do.
Right.
You know, I mean, probably didn't happen that first night, but there would be random times. I remember, like, I wanted to go watch the Saints play mm-hmm. on Sunday, and mm-hmm. I couldn't get it on my TV at home. So mm-hmm. I was like, I'm just going to go to the corner pub and I met one of my best friends there, you know, and mm-hmm. then we ended up having mutual friends in a different state. And then, you know, she introduced me to this person and that person. And then I moved into a different neighborhood mm-hmm. and found some neighborhood friends. And it kind of like expanded from there. And yeah, and now it's crazy. Like, I feel like I have a wonderful group of friends here, mm-hmm. but also different groups too.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is like wild. You're not surprised.
Yeah, I'm like, gosh, you know, but I guess, you know, in some ways I can get comfortable being at home. I can get mm-hmm. comfortable, which is why I like to travel so much, because it does expand you and it forces you to get out and meet people and do things.
Yeah.
And traveling for me, it makes me very present, because mm-hmm. if I'm unaware of my surroundings, it's not familiar and I don't know where I'm going or what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It forces you to get very present and figure out like, where am I going? What am I doing? Who am I seeing? All those things. So it does force you to get out and meet people.
Yeah.
But at home, you can get so comfortable and keep mm-hmm. hanging out with the same people and all those mm-hmm. things. So for you, when you started meeting new people in Nashville, what was the moment that you were like, okay, I can do this. I can open a boutique, which has been your like lifelong dream. When I first met you, this was like 8 years ago when we had a first session. I was like, well, if you could do anything in the world, like what would you do?
You're I told like, you anything? At first, I don't know.
You do know. You do know. You know. I was like, just say it. And you did.
Yeah, I did.
You said, I would love to own a boutique.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't, you know, I feel like it's kind of hard to like pinpoint an exact moment.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when we were in Paris and, you know, we sat in the Eiffel Tower and we were drinking wine and smoking skinny cigarettes. And you said, you know, like, let's just make a wish, you know, for the next like year or two of our life. And for me, I know I didn't say the store. I think I said, I just want to own my own business.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I've always said, if I'm going to work this hard, there's got to be a way that I could just do it myself.
Yeah.
Work for myself. But I just didn't exactly know what that was.
Right.
Well, I guess I did. I just maybe never said it out loud.
Yeah. Right.
And so I feel like that summer of 23, I was a year and a half in. Back in the hospitality industry.
Okay.
Very just, I knew again
mm-hmm.
that gut feeling of, this is just not for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not, you know, I'm just not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't, I knew it had to surround with my career because that was my pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you helped me a lot, but I feel like that was a moment where I said, I'm going to own my own business. And so I, you know, it took, I guess, almost another year or mm-hmm. so, like a little under a year to quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the turning point of like, there is no return.
Yeah, right.
You know, that was, you know, I had to figure it out financially and make sure it made sense and that type of thing. But, you know, I had to let go of the safety net
mm-hmm.
and it was hard.
Yeah.
Well, but, and I remember you saying mm-hmm. that the week that I quit, I think I had a session with you, and I remember you saying that this decision was a bigger leap than me moving to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me. And yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
No way.
Yeah. You're like, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
I was like, that's not true.
Yeah. I love that. Yep. You're like, never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it took me a minute to, figure that out as mm-hmm. well. But I feel like that was a turning point of, okay, I'm gonna do this for real. I'm gonna open the LLC. I'm gonna, there is no like, I mean, I guess there is a book to tell you how to open your own business.
Right. Yeah.
I definitely didn't read it.
Well, and it never goes the way that you think it's gonna go. Like,
no.
And especially once you do open a business, you think you have it all planned out. You have a business plan, you have everything, yeah. and then nothing goes to plan.
Well, no one else is on your timeline.
Well, yeah. But the thing about it is that it is sink or swim, because you can't turn around, especially once you like start opening and you're mm-hmm. like, okay, I've invested all this money, all this yeah. time, all this energy. What are you going to do? You have to keep going. You have to keep paddling,
yeah.
you know, and yeah. or else you're just going to keep taking on water. And
yeah.
I don't know about you, but for me, I also got a lot of criticism about mm-hmm. what are you doing? Especially, oh my God. Okay. Can we just bend for a second?
Yeah. Isn't that why we're here?
Yeah. Right. This is a bitch fest. No. No. For me, because I have a little bit more of an old school business when it comes to a publication, a printed publication, in a world of you're surrounded by just, yeah. you know, online media, everyone is saying, why won't you just have a blog, like
right.
just do that,
right.
just go on the computer, make it easy, just do a Substack, just do this, whatever. And I'm like, I want to go back to the old school paper in your hands. Like, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And I don't have, no offense to anyone else who has a publication right now, I don't have a publication out there where I'm like, that I want to read that. It's yeah. like consuming actual information. I can't find that, or I haven't found that. I'm sure right. there are publications out there that have that. But I haven't found one that's just fun and lighthearted, but also informative and yeah. connected to, you know, and not that I'm tuning my own horn, but I'm saying thank you. But that was my inspiration of like,
yeah,
I wish I had that.
Yeah.
So why not me? Like, right. why not me? Like, why shouldn't I do that? You know?
Right.
And turns out I shouldn't have done it.
That's not true.
No, it's a lot harder than you yeah. expect. And I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a degree in journalism or anything, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to figure it out.
Well, I don't have a degree in fashion.
Well, there you go. But it's like, you do consider that, because you're like, yeah. well, it in a world that also tells you have to go to college, you have to get mm-hmm. this degree, you have to do that, you have to keep on this path. And so it programs you really
yeah.
in your brain thinking, well, I'm not qualified for XYZ, or
right.
I can't do that. And
right.
so many people tell me, well, you shouldn't be running a business. You should just be podcasting, or you should just be doing this. And I'm like, well, okay. But also I want to do that. I'm entitled to that yeah. right now. And yeah. thank God we're in a country that's allowing women to do that.
100%.
So I'm like, you know what? I need to do this. Because yeah. there was a time, if you watch the movie Little Women, I know it's yeah. so crazy, but it's like she had to go under an alias, or, mm-hmm. you know, she couldn't get published right. as a woman. So I'm like, I need to really appreciate mm-hmm. this and
yeah.
have gratitude. And we'll
yeah.
get into that, because I know that's something you've had to do, because you can start to resent it or hate it.
Yeah.
The thing that you create, you can start to actually hate it
yeah.
because it there's so much
yeah.
stress.
For sure. Can I toot your horn a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just remember, obviously we talked a lot about you starting the magazine, and
mm-hmm.
I remember telling you, you are one of the smartest people I've ever met. And seriously.
That's so nice.
No, seriously. But you are so smart that sometimes when you tell me things, I'm like, okay, well, can you like dumb it down? Just like, can you come down here?
Yeah.
You know, when you were talking about, you know, starting the magazine, I said, well, you have all this wealth of information.
Mm-hmm.
How do you figure out, how do you get it to your fan, to your mass, to the masses?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's probably only so many one-on-one clients you can take at a
You're
time
right.
before you overload yourself. And I think this is a perfect outlet for you to get it to the people that really need it. And it could really help them.
Thank you.
You know, on their health and wellness journey, but also their spiritual journey, also their professional journey. I mean, you cover all the bases, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's an all-in-one package.
Yeah. Thank you.
Luckily, you do take me on as a client. Thank the Lord.
I kept you around. Yeah, no.
Kept me around too. Yeah. You tried to fire me once, but I didn't let you.
Yeah. That's so funny.
I immediately called her. I was like, I can't start over.
You're like, I have no one else I can talk to. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. No, you're like, you know everything, every little thing. I'm like, yeah. Fine, Claire.
Anyway.
No, so funny.
That is a true story.
Well, yeah, and to be fair, I didn't fire you because I didn't like you. It was because
now
of
I
my
fully
own.
Understand.
Yeah, I was grieving the death of my mother at the time, and so it was very hard for me to hold space for anyone else during that time.
And that's so fair.
Yeah,
and so, for you to have the recognition, to say like, I need this space, because you give so much of yourself to your clients and what you do. So for you to have that recognition and take the time that you needed to figure that out is endearing.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, and even though I have sessions and I help people with life decisions and stuff, I'm still human. I still, you know, I still need to work on myself, and I try to walk the walk as much as possible along with my clients and along with anyone, because at the end of the day, I'm like, the human condition is so fragile in some ways and so resilient in other ways. Also, in return, I learn a lot from my clients too.
Yeah. I was just about to say that. I'm sure you do. Like, I mean, I'm sure it's sometimes self-reflecting.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's been a journey for sure. Yeah. But, but thank you for saying that. That's sweet. And you can have your blind spots when you're in it, in the trenches every single day, you know. And now that you have the boutique, like when you said, oh, I'm opening a boutique and I've seen it online and all these things, I'm like, it's so great. It's so great. But then walking in, it's like, it almost gets me emotional because I'm like, I've just been with you on this whole journey. And people don't see the behind the scenes of, you know, I cry on the floor of my shower. Monthly, definitely
that
monthly
conversation.
And I'm just like, God, what am I doing? No one cares. Like, why am I doing this? You know, like, everyone was right. I shouldn't own a business. I shouldn't create a publication in a world that that worships media online right now. And I'm like, what am I doing? You know, but you follow your heart and you're like, nope, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. And you're a testament to that.
Thank you.
And in a world also that is the TikTok shops and the online, and you have a bricks and mortar, and that's a lot.
A lot of people, a lot of conversations were had about just stay online and build your online presence and all that stuff. And I feel like the person that I am that will walk down to the bar by themselves to make a friend, like I didn't want to just be by myself running it out of my house or a warehouse. Like, I needed that human connection. Like I want to keep champagne in the back for the lady that walks in and just wants to spend like an hour with me, you know, to
enjoy,
just enjoy, or maybe just like she just needs a minute to decompress and like not necessarily even buy anything, but she will most likely come back and buy something if she didn't buy something that day, you know. Or, you know, it's funny to think about the, you know, I had a lady come in and she was a flight attendant and she had like just the day to kill. And she came in and she stayed 3 hours.
Wow.
And I learned her entire life story.
Oh, wow.
And it was really cool. But that's why I did it. Like, for those type, now, you know, probably, hopefully I'll get a little busier to where I didn't have 3 hours to kill.
Well, there's that. Yes.
But those were the types of things that I wanted to create walking in here, because at my core, what I did in my previous jobs and career was building communities and, you know, building brands. That was like my background. And so that was part of why I think and believe that it can be successful. I've learned very quickly it does not happen overnight.
It doesn't happen overnight. And it really does. It is those moments, you're right, when you do connect with your community and you find, you start finding your people who want your boutique or they want your services. or your publication or whatever it is. And, you know, I'll get messages or DMs on Instagram and people saying, oh, I just found your publication. And I've gotten so many compliments of, thank God someone's printing something.
Yeah.
And you just like realize.
A tangible something.
Yeah. And you just realize, like, you know, no matter what anyone tells you about, like, printing is dead. Don't do this. Don't do that. Whatever. You don't know what people might be craving or wanting. Just because it doesn't exist right now doesn't mean that someone out there doesn't want your service or your creation or your idea. If you're feeling it, go with it. Take a step, because you might create the next movement or the next trend or the next thing, or fill a void that is desperately needed right now in the world.
Yeah. I love the term. I learned this term, like, disrupt your industry. Like, someone told me that once, you know, like, disrupt it. Of course, you can learn from what people have done and what makes people successful and, like, things like that. Mm-hmm. But you can also be a disruptor.
Yeah.
And it's probably way scarier to be the disruptor.
Yeah.
But you're creating something that no one has ever seen. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take them a minute.
Yeah.
Like, think about being in Nashville. Like, if someone, the new song that you hear for the first time, and you're like, you don't know the words.
Yeah.
But you're like, okay, I mean, this is good.
Yeah.
And then, like, a week later, you find yourself, I want to hear that song again. Like, you know, and then, and then, like, a week after that, you know all the words.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that type of, like,
you're so right. Yeah. It does. It builds upon itself, because you get exposed to something once and you're like, oh, I can take it, or I like it, whatever. You're right. Yeah. It does. It's the same thing with even coming into a new boutique and looking at the clothes and getting a sense of, like, what your style is and what you offer. And then, you know, maybe not buying anything that day, but then coming back or keeping it in mind for, like, oh, I have this event and she had this brand, or, you know, and it does build.
Yeah.
It just takes time, which is why
it does
no one does it. No, it's
no smart people do. I'm just kidding.
No, it's like
you have to be crazy.
Yeah, for real. It really is, because you can overthink it. You can overthink it to death.
Oh, and I am the, like, queen of overthinking.
Same. Yeah. If I didn't have a support system, you know, there were definitely people throwing rocks at me, like, don't do it. Yeah. Like, this is crazy. You are nuts. Like, it's going to fail. Even today, there are people close to me who are like, it will fail. I'm like, I don't care. I would rather try and fail than always have a pit in my stomach.
Yeah.
Not being true to my heart.
Right.
And that is more of a deficit to me than losing money on a business venture.
Right.
For me.
That is one thing you have taught me. It was a huge thing to kind of still learning to deal with is accepting that failure is okay. Even it's hard. You don't want to think about that.
Yeah.
But even you said, like, just even thinking about it sometimes will, like, get it out of your field and, you know, and then you can, like, think of the things that will, like, keep your business running.
Yes. Accepting it. So, yes, that's a good point that we have these fears. Right. And a lot of the time, because human beings are wired for safety, we always try to find the safe space. And most of the time, that's what's comfortable or what's familiar. And so when you're trying to create something new, it is very scary. And you have to go into the fear mentally. Right. So you're going to have this fear, you're going to have worst case scenario, plot it out in your brain, go into the worst case scenario.
Freaking scary.
It's scary, but it's just your brain. It's just an idea. It's just an option on the platter. So if it's not real yet, go into it, even with detail, accepting worst case scenario and just feeling what that feels like and taking a deep breath and saying, okay, worst case scenario, I'm still alive. I'm accepting it. It's part of me now.
Yeah.
And I trust myself to navigate it, whatever that throws at me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it does. It energetically opens up the doorways for you to move forward.
I had to do that about a month and a half ago.
Really?
Yes. After one of our sessions. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's something that really works, even, and not just with business, but just in other scenarios too. You can have these worst case scenario thoughts, even with your health.
Yeah.
And you can go crazy because you're resisting it, avoiding mm-hmm. it, don't want to look at it, don't want to feel it.
Right.
And then mentally, if you're like, well, let me just turn on the lights and look at it. You know, mm-hmm. it's just shadows on the wall. Mm-hmm. When you realize it, it's just the monsters in the room are the shadows on the wall. Mm-hmm. Turn on the light and realize there's no monster in the room.
Yeah.
So when you can accept it and say, okay, that's my biggest fear. That's my worst case scenario. And I fully accept it and embrace it. And yeah. I love myself and I will push forward and I will persevere. That can open up so many avenues mm-hmm. in the next moments because the energy has moved. You're right. not resisting it. Because when you resist it, you lock yourself into a loop with it.
Yeah. I had gotten to a place where, of course, it was wonderful and opening and everything, but it felt so heavy. And mm-hmm. that's what I had to do.
Yeah.
You know,
accept it and then give gratitude for mm-hmm. what you do have right now.
Yes.
Which is very hard when you're struggling and
yeah.
looking at the sales that day or like, yeah. okay, no sales are coming in or why am I doing it? Makes you question mm-hmm. everything. Or you
everything.
Have all these other things that you don't expect that pop up along the way. You're like, wait, I need what software system? I need yeah. this computer. I need this. I need to hire this person. It's so much that you don't expect. And then, yeah, it can bring you in such a dark place. And then I love what you said the other night. You were like, you know what? And then once I got to that space, I was just like, I'm just going to give gratitude for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. It really transmutes it.
Yeah.
Not only transforms it, it transmutes it. It
yeah.
just changes into a different frequency altogether.
For sure. And it has changed. Like, it's so crazy. I mean, I've gotten busier.
Yeah.
In the past like 3.5 weeks, you know, which is, you know.
After gratitude?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
See, there's something to it.
Yeah.
You know.
Or maybe my marketing is working.
But it's all connected though, right?
Because yeah,
it's
sure.
like when you get in a certain mindset, I know even for me, if I am in a certain mindset and I'm really low on myself and then I like post something on social media and I'm like, oh, it perpetuates a whole thing. But if I'm like, you know what?
The social media thing is a whole different.
Yeah, there's a whole other.
It's a wild, wild west over
yeah,
there.
That's also part of the bitch fest that yeah. I have going on. But it is, you know, you really start thinking about it and putting out more positivity. Like love and gratitude, mm-hmm. the combination really of love and gratitude is one of the highest frequencies. Mm-hmm. So that really can, holding that in your body
yeah.
can emanate out and pulse out and infiltrate into your marketing. People yeah. can sense things.
For sure. I think so, for sure. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I think for me, like I had to get to that point because
yeah.
like you said, nothing really went to plan
mm-hmm.
for this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of wrenches that got thrown my way.
Yeah.
Still to this day. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't have a sign right now.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
that's a whole, if we had 3 hours, I would
yeah.
tell you. But and so just kind of having, of course, like working, figuring it out and working to get to the you know
yeah.
through it, but also at the same time, like coming in, take it, like in the mornings I kind of like take a deep breath and I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I did this
mm-hmm.
with a lot of help,
right,
by
right.
the way, with, you know, from
but
a lot of different people.
Engineered from you. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is like my brainchild and it's really cool.
Mm-hmm. It
you
is.
Know?
Yeah. And you should be very proud of it.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. just coming to the point of just being like this, I'm so grateful to
yeah.
even be able to like, I mean, I can walk from my house
mm-hmm.
to the store and being in this really cool up and coming neighborhood and just being here and sharing this vision with, you know, other people that live around here and also in Nashville and beyond. So
mm-hmm.
I had to get to that point for sure.
Yeah.
And find the joy. I think I said like, and find the joy in it again of
mm-hmm.
like why I was doing it in the first place.
Yeah.
Was a big thing.
Yeah. You know? Well, I can remind you of 8 years ago. You're like, I think I want to do that. But yeah. Okay. So I do have a question for you. Has anyone in your family line, on either your mom's side or your dad's side, has anyone lived to be an old age?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, what do you think their secret is?
I have been really blessed to have a lot of people live a long time.
Okay.
I was able to physically meet and spend a lot of quality time with 3 great-grandmothers.
Oh, wow.
A great-grandfather. that I remember. And all four of my, both my grandmothers and both my grandfathers, until recently. So I have a lot of longevity on both sides.
Okay. And so what do you think, if you had to pinpoint something like a main vein within that, what do you think is something that helped contribute to their longevity?
Yeah, I feel like something that sticks out to me. So my great-grandmother lived until she was 103.
Wow.
And I remember my mom telling me this story. Mm-hmm. You know, she said, "Mama, what was your secret?" Mm-hmm. You know, because she had 7 kids in 6 years because the last two were twins.
Oh, wow.
And
what a job.
Right?
Wow.
And, you know, she said, my mom said that she said, you know, I just never really raised my voice.
Wow.
And, you know, I kind of took that as like, she never like, it never escalated for her. Like she, I feel like she was probably really grounded. And
yeah,
I'm sure she had a ton of hardships.
Yeah, but it is, you're right. You have to be grounded to take things in stride.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're right. When she's saying, "I'm not raising my voice," I think she's just taking it as it comes, you know, and not, I mean, I don't want to speak for her, but I'm just feeling that. I would think that that's what she means.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. I think so too. And knowing her, how I did, that seems so like her, you know, and I'm sure like there are moments that she probably forgot with 7 kids that she did raise her voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure if we interviewed her kids, they'd be like, correction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But in the time that I knew her, I feel like not knowing probably what grounded was back when I did know her and understanding it now, like she was just so, I'm sure she was stressed in different ways, you know, how it was in a different generation of stress.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, she was probably like the present person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the mass chaos.
No, that's so interesting because today, American culture, typically the stressors are different, where back in the day at that time period, I'm thinking of your great grandmother. It is a time of war in survivalist ways and trying to figure out how you're going to put food on the table for 7 children or it's a different type of stress
for sure,
but they weren't wired and overexposed in a media online world. It's a different set of stressors because we have too much stimulation, not enough coming down from our day, not enough boredom, honestly, because boredom breeds creativity.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's too much stimuli out there in the world. And then the performance, the issue of like trying to perform for a camera, a different type of stress. And when I think back to even the 60s or the 50s or the 70s and the different types of stress that humans went through, there's always something to be fearful of. There's always something terrible going on in the world. There's there's always something. And so how can we be grounded and resilient and persevere and get back to our roots of being human again and focusing on things that can get us through the day in a way that where we're not stressing over the small stuff.
Well, and I feel
which feels
like,
big, but it's small.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, there was something that you always say is like, because it's so hard. Well, it's so easy to think of just the bigger picture, right? I'm like, well, I want to get from here to here. But you're always like, just take the baby steps. Like you'll eventually like it'll lead to that.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like in this day and age, everyone just wants to make like gigantic leaps.
Yes.
You know,
exactly. It is. It's success is in the subtleties.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It's never an overnight thing. For some, it might be. It might be where, you know, something goes viral or whatever. But it's always all the steps leading up to it. Even if a video goes viral, it might be a video that took years of work with editing or, you know, whatever it is, or shooting videos. It takes a lot to just even set up your camera to start filming a video. All those things that go into it, it's never just an overnight thing. The success is in the subtleties. It's the everyday nuance of the thoughts and the actions and the behaviors mm-hmm. and all of it leading up to it. That's why it can be so hard, because if you blink, you miss it. It's yeah. so easy to miss, and you have to really be intentional and focus on it in order to get to those goals.
Yeah.
And it is a different time period today where it does require focusing on subtleties more than, you know, back in the day, because everyone was so much more grounded. Mm-hmm. They can make these moves, and they, a lot of the time they did fail and they just went to the next thing,
right.
you know?
Right.
But we're so, and I think our generation too, we're so programmed for achievement.
Yeah.
That it's, there's a stressor there and in an overthinking yeah. of it's gotta, like, coming out the gate, it's gotta perform and succeed or else.
I feel like a question for you, like, yeah. do you live, like, we live in this world of like instant gratification mm-hmm. these days.
Yeah.
And so that was a lot of what trying to figure out mm-hmm. how do I instantly gratify someone with my clothes or whatever. And because that's the world we live in. Mm-hmm. Like, how is that? I don't know. Like, how are we going to deal with that moving forward? Because that's not going to go away.
The instant gratification?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it will swing. Mm-hmm. I think that the instant gratification will swing or dissipate at some point, because our nervous systems, if you think about it and you, mm-hmm. you look at what's going on, our nervous systems are fried. Like, the well. Amount of ADHD and, you know, all of it. It's just, in the chemicals and the food and all of that, that's just a hyper, it's too much. It's too much stimulation,
yeah.
too much gas, not enough breaks. Mm-hmm. So we're just going, constantly being inundated with blue light and all kinds of stimulatory things. Mm-hmm. And so I think at some point we're going to burn out as a society.
Yeah.
It's going to happen at some point. I don't know when that's going to be. But you're going to have a generation that can't focus on anything. You know, mm-hmm. it's just like the attention span of a fly.
Yeah.
So I think that it will change. But it also, I believe, and this might be naive of me, but I do believe in humanity. I think mm-hmm. fundamentally humans are wired for connection. We yeah. need each other.
Yeah.
We need experience. We need to yeah. go out and physically do things. So I think you're always going to have people who want to enter into a store and physically try clothes on. I yeah. want that. I'm yeah. like, thank God there are boutiques open. I don't want to just keep going on Amazon or whatever. Right. And I don't know what it looks like. I don't know how it feels. Right. I'm very sensitive to fabrics yeah. and I'm very particular about things. And you don't know, you know, unless mm-hmm. you have a personal shopper or, you know, right, whatever right. it is, or designer. But most people, it's the experience. Like you said, mm-hmm. I want to go in and have a glass of champagne and have yeah. an experience, even if I don't buy anything that day.
Yeah.
It is retail therapy, mm-hmm. you know? So there's, exactly. it's almost like a birthright to girls, you yeah. know, like, yeah. we want to go shopping. We want to have an experience.
Yeah.
So yeah. I know there's so much like instant gratification and all those things, mm-hmm. but I do believe in humanity and the basic biology of humans. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, we need to come down from our day. And I think the masses are really sick of it. Yeah. I think we're there, but everyone on social media and the media is just amplifying a small amount of people. And we think that that's the masses, but it's really not. If you think about True. It, like, think about all the people who own farms in the Midwest. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a lot of people aren't on social media still.
Yeah, and for sure.
So, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm rooting for humans. I'm yeah. rooting for us.
Yeah. Well, so one of my, I think, huge issues when I first saw you mm-hmm. was my nervous system, you told me, was just completely in overdrive. I couldn't calm down. That was one mm-hmm. of my things.
Yeah.
So what are some of your best practices of coming down from a day or like something, you know, mm-hmm. or like a large week, just getting into that state of being able to like take a deep breath and feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sometimes I take deep breaths and I don't feel them.
Okay. No, that's good. That's very honest. And I feel like so many people can relate to that.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I do is do diaphragmatic breathing, mm-hmm. like your diaphragm. A lot of us have inverted breathing patterns where our muscles, like if you look at a baby sleeping, mm-hmm. their belly goes out when they mm-hmm. breathe in. Mm-hmm. Their belly goes out. And we don't do that. We breathe from like the chest up. And so, yeah. so often when you take a deep breath in, if you're taking it from your chest and your chest expands and not your belly, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. It's inverted.
Interesting.
Yeah. So try it right now. See, look, I'm so glad we got this on camera. For people who are just listening, Claire breathes in and boom, her chest goes up.
Everything went up.
Yeah, I was like, okay, well, therein lies the problem. So that's number
one.
That's
why she makes the big bucks, guys.
Exactly. No, so that is the problem. So that probably has to do with you not being able to even feel your breaths.
Right.
Because the oxygen's not getting in. The muscle tissues are not expanding. You're not getting oxygenated and the nutrients aren't coming in. Mm-hmm. So you're in fight or flight. Mm-hmm. So if your chest goes up first before your belly moves out, mm-hmm. and it's very hard, especially for women when we have bra straps that mm-hmm. are tightening around a rib cage.
Yeah.
And we're taught to tuck it in, honey, mm-hmm. you know, suck it in, suck it up. So if we're women and we're just hanging out with our bellies pushing out, you know, that's not culturally, especially in the South, like something we want to do.
No.
So a lot of women have gotten their nervous system skewed. So the actual information, the nerve endings are informing the muscle tissues to invert your breathing. Mm-hmm. So you have to rewire it. Mm-hmm. So a practice that you can do is lying down on your back. And when you take a deep breath in, consciously push your belly out. You can even put your hand like a pancake, like your five fingers out expanded, put the palm of your hand over your belly button and push into it. Push your belly into it as you take a deep breath. It will calm you down. You'll feel like you're drugged.
That's
because
crazy.
It's actually oxygen getting in for the first time in probably years.
Yeah.
So that can calm you down. Your energy just shifted. Even you thinking about it, describing it, you're so much calmer now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So it's that energy coming in that will calm you down. That's number one. So I do that as a practice. Sometimes if I have too much stress or too much caffeine or too much stimulation, I will use magnesium. Mm-hmm. So the magnesium that I use that's for the brain if I'm stressed out a lot is magnesium L-threonate. Mm-hmm. So that's the mag team.
Is that, the sleeping pill that I take?
It's the quote unquote sleeping pill that I told you to get. But yeah, that it works for anxiety because the magnesium goes straight to the brain. It's not as good for like, you know, muscle tissue, but it's very good for the brain. So that will calm a lot of anxiety. I can't take it during the day because I will just fall asleep. And I can only take half of a capsule because I'm very sensitive to it. But it does work. It will knock me out. But I'm not groggy the next day at all.
No. Yeah. No, I'm not either.
Yeah. So that works. And then sometimes I will journal. Like I'll write in a your favorite. Yeah. I will journal in a notebook.
She's being sarcastic.
Yeah. Yeah. You hate it a lot. But journaling about things that I just need to get out, like even if it's a to-do list, if I have a lot to do, I'll think of things that are kind of keeping me up at night or like I can't come down from. It could be a conversation that I had with someone that I'm like, well, why did she say this? Or, you know, it's something that I'm like struggling with. I'll get it out physically on paper and put it away and be done with it and not think about it. It does help.
Yeah, that's a real issue for me. I mean, I know we spoke about me being really social, but I also have a large amount of, never really said this to anyone, a lot of social anxiety of just like replaying some of like the conversations that I had or like, God, why did I say that? Like, you know, and the person that I'm talking to is not, they don't care. And so that would probably be helpful.
Yeah.
Journal it.
Yes. There you go. That's why I said it. No. But journaling helps it physically gets the energy out of your body. And so the energy is not just running with nowhere to go and keeping you awake or keeping you up or keeping you stimulated.
Yeah.
Other times when I've been on the phone all day or if I'm like looking at a screen or something, I will turn everything off, turn my lights down really low in my house or off, and I'll just sit there in silence.
Yeah.
And that's scary because all your thoughts come up. Oh. Everything comes up and you're like, oh. But sometimes Lord. I just need to like stare at a wall. I know. But after I'm past the first 10 minutes or so, it releases it, like it lets go.
Yeah.
So those would be a lot of my like top choices, but it depends on the person.
So you mean not drinking a bottle of wine? Right.
Options. Yes. Options. We'll see. No, You know, and there's nothing wrong with that if you have a specific type of relationship with the bottle of wine, right? Like if you're popping it open and having fun with your girlfriends or even with yourself, if you're celebrating your day or just you want to feel good or, you know, relaxed or sexy or whatever it is. But it's your relationship to that thing that can get dirty with anything. It could be food. Well, it could be a person.
Or if you like judge yourself for doing it.
Right? Yeah.
That's probably not the right.
Feeling like you're not worthy enough to have a celebratory glass of wine.
Right.
You know, like you have to wait for a certain date or something. So it is. You're right. It's the energy and your intention going into the thing that you're doing. Mm-hmm. That's the most important.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, if you're just numbing out and you're like, I don't want to feel, I don't want to think, I don't want to, you know, and we all have those moments.
Yeah, for sure.
But again, rooted in safety and fear. Mm-hmm. You're too fearful of looking at the thing. If you say, okay, shove the glass of wine away. Let me look at this for a second. Mm-hmm. Let me feel it. Because what's the worst thing? What, you're going to die from feelings? I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if anyone has died from feelings. I'm not sure.
I hope not.
I hope not either. But you never know.
You never know.
But we're so terrified to feel.
Yeah.
And so, especially in a culture where we want to feel good all the time and want to feel stimulated and entertained.
Yeah.
So we don't want to look at the thing. And so it can get really overwhelming because you shove it out. And you do that for years. And then... comes out in contorted ways. It comes out in a, you know, infidelity. It comes out in whatever it is.
For a person, I'm speaking for myself as somebody that continually keeps everything in. Mm-hmm. It is so hard for me, even this situation right here, you know, speaking about how I feel and things like that is really hard. I give all the credit to you for bringing it out of me these past 9 years.
Yeah.
Because I don't think 9 years ago I would have sat in this chair.
No.
At all.
Yeah. No. You've done the work. You've come far.
So. Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you. But for someone like that, it is so balled up, which probably has a lot to do with the nervous system and it's all probably connected.
Yep. Oh, you're like, connected? Question?
Question?
Yes.
With all that being said, like, does that cause maybe some of the health issues that I've been experiencing?
Like stifling everything? 1,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you feel like within your family line, sorry, I'm kind of probing a little bit energetically, but I think you're okay with it. I won't reveal too much.
Okay.
But do you feel like in your family line or the way you've been taught or the way you grew up or who you're surrounded by, are you feeling like you can't express or are you, is it just a pattern that like everyone in your family doesn't express?
A little bit? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's for everyone, but
That's very common, by the way.
Yeah, I think so.
That's like common in families.
Yeah. For sure. I think so. It has to be, right? Because, it's probably one of those learned behaviors that, you know.
Yeah, you pick up along the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if it's a program, that's a good thing, actually. So that's why I was asking you. I was like, do you think it's a program or do you think it's something like innately in you that like you have a block? Or it could be both.
Yeah, I think maybe a little bit of both. I mean, I feel like over the past few years, I've become a lot better at expressing how I feel. Well, and also too, like being such a people pleaser and not trying, you know, and trying to do more things for me has helped get me to be more expressive, I think, sometimes.
A lot of the time when we don't express, it's because we have fear. There's a safety mechanism underlying it.
Yeah.
So,
because it's easier not to talk about it.
Right. Because then,
but not really, because then it eats you literally inside out, right?
So yes, what is it? There's always a reason why you're not going to make that choice because of the result. Mm-hmm. So there's something you fear in that result. Mm. So if you expressed, what do you think the outcome would be? That's the thing you're avoiding. Mm-hmm. The outcome. So is it that you feel like, and you don't have to answer, I'm just exploring for people listening. Do you feel like it's that you're going to be disconnected from your loved ones, or you're not going to be approved by your loved ones or loved, or you're going to have to deal with dissonance, or because you're a people pleaser, you don't want to feel what they're feeling.
Yeah.
Right. If they're feeling badly about what you're saying, you don't want to feel that in your own body. So you just stifle it because you're like, well, I don't want to feel their stuff.
Right.
Because that I don't want them feeling badly. I want to people please.
Yeah.
So what you do is you sacrifice your wants, needs, and desires and you put their wants, needs, and desires and feelings above your own. That's self-denial. And so you're telling your body, I don't care about you. I care about them more.
Oh, wow.
So that's what's actually going on.
Yeah.
So the self-denial is teaching your body, you're not important. I'm not going to keep you safe, because when it comes down to it, I'm going to protect them over you. And so your body picks up on that. Your nervous system now is wired. Oh my God, no one has my back. No one's going to protect me, not even me.
Yeah.
That's terrifying to the nervous system. But the stifling, the end result is that, ironically, you're thinking you're becoming more safe.
Yeah.
But you're, it's not true safety. It's a subtle, like, means to an end. So if you focus on true safety and true love, true self-love, that can help you to express. You're doing it for you, not for them.
Right.
So however they take it or receive it, that's not your job. It's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to say how you feel or to express. And sometimes we don't, that doesn't mean we have to express all the time. It's just that there are some times that you do need to stand up for yourself, or you do need to speak your mind, or you do need to say the truth, because that's also helping them to learn and to grow.
Yeah.
Especially if they're people in your life, you know, pretty frequently, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I feel like that's huge for like opening a business, because a lot of people have a lot of opinions and it's absolutely valid to want to give feedback. And I love to hear like, tell me what you think, like what you really think. But sometimes it's also hard to like navigate, like there's a lot of opinions.
Don't I know it?
And just like, okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
I'll put that one in the back pocket. You know, just trying to figure out how to stand up for yourself and be like, no, this is mine. This is like, thank you so much for your help, you know, or trying to help and your advice.
Right.
But I, you know, I'll take it in and think about it. But at the end of the day, like, this is mine.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It is. It's your expression for sure. And I think, you know, some people might mean well, but and I love Brené Brown when she says, I'm not interested in your feedback or your criticism unless you're in the arena getting slaughtered with me. You know, like, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but it's a lot of people in the cheap seats who aren't willing to step into that. And some people are really doing it lovingly. Like, they think they're being loving. That,
and that's what I wanted to say. Like, I don't think that, like, I love people talking to me about the store.
Right.
And about, like, what I'm doing and what I can do better and all that kind of stuff. That is not what I'm saying. It's just sometimes there's so much of it. There's so much noise in the arena. And it's like, how do you figure out, like, how do you figure out what you need to take in and what you can just like.
Well, I think you taking in everyone's opinion and just saying, you know, good to know it's because you do question. You're like, okay, well, maybe I have a blind spot and I can't see, and they're actually saying something valuable, even if I'm offended by it, you know, there is that. So I try to be as neutral as possible. Or if it does trigger you, I like to use journaling, but I like to write it down.
How many take a drink every time she says journal?
I know, really. Start a drinking game. But it is about writing it down or processing it out on paper to see if it's valid or if it would work for you or not. And there are some times where you might try it out and it might work. It might be great, or it might be horrible, or you might take it and change it. But I think for the most part, you'll know internally what's useful information and what's mm-hmm. just bullshit, or someone getting their opinion in mm-hmm. to, or their dig in, or, and a lot of it, if not all of it, has to do with their own insecurity.
Yeah.
You know, or their own fear. You mm-hmm. know, if they're like, you need to do it this way or that way. And it can come from they're thinking a loving place, but it's their own fear. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's your creation. It's what you want, mm-hmm. whatever that looks like. It's yours. So take the information that really lights you up and resonates, and you're like, actually, that would be a good idea. Or like, I don't know about that, but I'll try it. Just see. You can verify, you know, mm-hmm. use the scientific method. Like,
right.
experiment with it. If it works, great. If not, throw yeah. it away. But if something really doesn't resonate and you're like, whoa, just drop it, let it go. Yeah. I mean, people yeah, well, are just,
yeah.
yeah, they're going to say what they want to say, you know, and if yeah. they've never owned a boutique in their life or never, you know, sometimes they can have profound information.
For sure. Yeah.
But for the times that it's like, it's not resonating and they're just trying to get their opinion because they want to feel more important mm-hmm. or whatever it is, their own issue, you have to see it for truth, for it's, yeah. the truth is.
Yeah. It's definitely a fine them. Line.
Yeah.
I think of like trying to figure it out,
mm-hmm.
especially like as a new business owner,
mm-hmm.
You know, just navigating all the things.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I know you know about that.
I know. It's a big navigation game. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're never, you know, I remember starting this out. I mean, obviously I come from a lot of entrepreneurs in my family
mm-hmm.
and my dad telling me, you know, owning your own business, he's basically is just putting out fires every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's never gonna be this like perfect. You're always gonna have stuff being thrown at you, and it's right. how you handle it.
It's true.
That brings you more success.
Right.
I think what he was trying to say.
Yeah. You know? It is true, because it's you're always gonna have something. It's not just like, oh, I own a boutique.
Yeah.
This is so much fun, you know? It is going to be the yeah. thing where like my Wi-Fi is out, or
right.
someone can't cover my shift mm. or it's always going to be something that yeah. it's part of the territory.
Yeah.
But yeah, you think going into it, it's like, oh, it's yeah. all fun. You know? Yeah.
I did listen to, I was listening to a podcast, Gwyneth Paltrow was on.
Mm.
And I think the question somewhat was like, if you could change any, or like something about like her changing her business or like what she would do differently. Or she said like sometimes she just wishes that she could just like be
mm-hmm.
in her business and it just like be like kind of
even keeled. Yeah.
And that kind of hit me like a ton of bricks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How often are we just not present with our business and,
yeah.
and enjoying it? You
yeah.
know? And,
but like yeah. there's so much, even like her, as successful as she is, mm-hmm. do you think like, oh, when I get to like Gwyneth Paltrow's level,
I can enjoy? No.
I guess it's not happening, right?
No. And that's why I say success is in the subtleties. Yeah. Because if you don't have that foundation starting out,
mm-hmm.
adding on more is never going to achieve it.
Right.
So we always think like, oh, that career shift or getting that car that I want mm-hmm. or whatever is going to, then I'm going to feel that thing,
yeah.
you know, and those are all empty shells. Unless you're getting that frequency on your own at first, it's going to be a continual pattern like yeah. that you're just repeating over and over again until you find it within yourself. And there's not, I'm not saying there aren't things that can't stimulate that feeling.
Yeah.
I'm a big proponent of that. Go yeah. to a, you know, hotel or a coffee shop or have an experience with someone, go travel or whatever, that's going to stimulate you that reaching feeling. That frequency. Yeah. yeah. And practice it over and yeah. over again. But that thing that you think is going to be like, okay, well, yeah, when I get to the yeah. level of Gwyneth Paltrow, I'll be able to enjoy my business. It's like,
yeah.
no,
you probably just, not.
probably not.
Yeah.
You have to enjoy even the messy parts right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think I asked you
mm-hmm.
a few months ago. I was like, I just can't find the joy. And mm-hmm. I think that's probably what you were like trying to tell me is like, because I was trying so hard to get to that frequency of just, I couldn't find, you know, it was, it, or maybe I was just overstimulated mm-hmm. with all the things that I dealing with opening a real business and all that. I don't know.
Well, a lot of it has to do with self-judgment and beratement. Mm-hmm. And when you're thinking you're doing it wrong or it's not leading up to your expectations,
mm-hmm.
then there's the disappointment that comes in. And
yeah.
it's really hard to find joy when you feel like it's not meeting your expectations or you're not getting something out of it and you're just mm-hmm. on this loop of working or performing mm-hmm. according to something else. And the gratitude is a great gateway to joy.
Yeah.
So being grateful for even the bad stuff.
Yeah.
And accepting the whole coin. It's not just, oh, I just want the heads side of the coin. I don't want the tails.
Right.
Then you don't have a coin. Like you have to have both because we're also in a bipolar system. It's right, wrong, good, bad. It's two poles, male, female, all of those things. It's two poles.
Yeah.
So when you actually accept the opposite end of the pole, that's when the movement happens with the energy. That's on an energetic scale. That's mm-hmm. like a battery. You know, you have a plus sign and a minus sign for mm-hmm. a battery to work. It's the good stuff and the bad stuff. It's yeah. positive ions. It's negative ions for that charge to happen, that energy to flow. Mm-hmm. So you have to accept the bad with the good.
Yeah.
And that gets that energy moving. So having gratitude for even the bad stuff mm-hmm. can totally transform your experience and yeah. give you that joy.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's all we have for today.
We solved all the world's problems.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you
for having me in Nashville. Yeah. Thank you for having me in your beautiful boutique, which is the setting of our podcast today.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I love
Come
it.
Back.
I will.
Okay, good.
Hopefully. I know. Yep. And I love the outfit you put me in. You outfitted yeah. me today.
It's all online. 913.shop.
913.shop. And yeah. I do have jewelry by Uncommon James, which yes. Claire outfitted me in too.
Yes.
So
it's amazing.
Yep.
It is actually one of my favorite jewelry stores other than mm-hmm. the 913 jewelry.
Exactly.
Other but than I do have a lot yes. of Uncommon James. She does a great job.
She does. Fabulous. I was like, yeah. okay, I never wear jewelry. And
I said, I'll fix that.
You fixed it. You put all these things on me and I was like, I don't want any of this. And then when you put it on, I was like, oh my God, I want all of it.
Yeah.
This yeah. is going to be horrible.
The more the better.
Yeah, I know. So I even got a signet ring, which they engraved yeah. in 5 minutes on site, which
cool.
is pretty awesome.
I
yeah.
will be going there probably.
You took it yours. Week. Yep. Like it to know it.
Like
yep.
it.
Yep.
Like it to know it.
Oh my God. I'm going to say like it to try it. Okay. We're
like
going
to
start experiences. Like it to
try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to figure that out. But yeah.
Oh, that's coming.
It's
stay
coming.
Tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. Yeah, since we have nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So where can people find you on social media, your website? How do people buy your clothes?
Yeah, so on the website, social media. So you can find us on Instagram at shop.913.
Okay.
Spelled out. So opposite of the website.
Okay. And it's spelled out not mm-hmm. N-I-N-E. Okay, 913.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, yeah, the website
is
www.913.shop. Awesome.
Yep. So I'm always, if you're local to Nashville, hosting events and doing like little private shops. And this week we did a Mahjong party for the first time, which was so much fun.
That is fun. I love that you do that kind of stuff. See,
yeah.
community, social butterfly, community. It pays off.
I know. Yeah. well, I am my mother's child and I love to throw a party. So,
yeah.
you know, we had a lot of fun and my goal is to do that kind of stuff like once a month.
Okay.
So
like
forward.
You want to work with like your community,
yeah.
host events,
yeah,
all those things.
Yeah,
yeah.
So definitely going to do Mahjong again. I have a couple other collabs in the works. I have a health trainer. She wants to come in and like kind of teach a nutrition class and things like that.
Oh, great.
So that's coming soon.
Yes.
So yeah, stuff like that. You know, mm-hmm. I have this really cool space in this really cool neighborhood that is somewhat new to
yeah.
the city. That it's, you know, just kind of exploding.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, I read that we are in the top 10 fastest growing neighborhoods in the country.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting.
Right now. So, yeah, come check us out. Wedgwood, Houston and Nashville. There is a lot. And also, if you want, I have started a new series on my Instagram called Wedgwood Walks.
Yes. No, your Wedgwood walks are phenom. They're great. Yeah.
So I'll be trying to hit up all the new businesses that are around here and that are coming
mm-hmm.
in like the next like 6 to 12 months because there is a lot.
That's going to be fun. Yeah. This neighborhood is booming.
Yeah,
like all of a
it's
sudden.
Crazy.
Yeah. It is. Well, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for
you. Proud of you, too.
Thank you. Yeah, look, who knew? We took a trip to Saint-Tropez to celebrate our friend's birthday with a bunch of women, and then just us three went to Paris, and in front of the Eiffel Tower, we sat down. We made wishes under a full moon, and mine was the magazine. Yours was the shop, and Lauren knows what Remy's was. We're still trying to figure that one out. No,
she'll let us know. Don't worry.
Oh yeah, she will. No, but we did. We had so much fun on that trip, and you know, highly recommend having a girls' trip or fun trip, even a solo trip, and doing something to expand yourself and get out of your patterns and just
it was
make
so
a wish.
Cool. I mean, that is my next. I think one of my things that I'd like to do within the next year is take a solo trip. I've actually never done that. And I think that would be like super helpful for me when things allow to calm down. That is definitely something on my bucket list in the next.
So here's a tip that we'll end on.
Okay.
Book a trip.
Okay.
Like a year from now or whatever.
Yeah.
Like start planning it or start plotting it out, because it's when things allow, it's never going to allow. So there's always going to be something. And you're going to regret not doing it. So pick a date, any date, and just set it aside. And then work around that date. As if you're planning a wedding or something. Like, you have to pick a date. So, like, pick it, do it.
It is scary in itself, Amberly.
Well, you know what? I push you.
That's
what I'm here for.
She
push
does.
You. Yeah. I'm like, come on, do it.
Yeah. Good advice.
Yeah. Do it. Because, you know, why not?
Yeah.
You know?
True.
Yeah. Like it to know it. So
get to know it. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Loved having you.
And thank you for coming to Nashville.
Yes. Last time I came, I was a teenager looking at Vanderbilt or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I ended up going to Elon University in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. But anyway, thank you so much.
Yeah, it was
and
great.
Come pick up Manicure Magazine at
the official one of the official spots in Nashville.
Yes,
there's a few other places, but
you
can always find Manicure here.
Yes.
I will always have it out.
Oh yeah.
All right, well, we're really gonna go.
Yeah. Okay. Cheers.
Cheers.
If you'd like to read more on beliefs as it relates to health, you can order a copy of Manicure Magazine, my new health and lifestyle publication, to be delivered straight to your door. Go to www.manicuremagazine.com/order for your copy.